Okay, so let's pick back up on our discussion concerning the love of the truth and some of the deceptions that get played on us. And so just a little bit of review. Each and every one of us has a, if we're up and walking, living, alive, has a piece of God in us, which is known as our spirit, which is the unique identity of God that's in you, that gets empowered by the Holy Spirit when you cry out on the name of Christ, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit comes and awakens. I don't know what you say to your spirit, but it brings it into the fullness of life when that indwelling of the Holy Spirit comes in. Your spirit, because it is of God Himself, is always in 100% agreement with God. So if we could, as Scripture calls us to, live by the Spirit, we would never disappoint God. We would think just like Him, do just like Him, act just like Him. That is our desire. The other aspect of us is our soul. Now, we being born of the flesh, we're born with our soul driving the body. Our spirit lay dormant, waiting for that day that we cried out on Christ. So for however long, for me it was 11 years of my life, my soul was independently driving my flesh. Our soul, its tendency is to side with the world, or the demonic even. It is heavily influenced by Satan and the demons. Makes agreements quite regularly with them. The spirit is always seeking the will of God. The soul, most commonly, until it is brought into submission to the spirit, is seeking its own self-comfort. And so that's what makes us so subject to deception, so subject to the schemes of the devil. That's why Scripture says, learn to discern the schemes of the devil, because our soul is always looking at so much comfort in there.
How would you define comfort?
The question was, how do we define comfort? When I think of the soul, I think of different emotions like happiness, contentment. Is more of a spiritual thought than a soulish thought. But our soul always wants to be happy, satisfied, warm, well-fed. Yeah, all of these things. We deal with disappointment in our soul in a variety of ways. Alcohol, drugs, you know, all of these things that can be a diversion to us are feeding our soul. Where the Holy Spirit will bring us righteousness, peace, and joy, as opposed to happiness and warmth and those things. Very much a tool. You know, one of the things that we run from the most is fear. One of Satan's favorite tools to stir up our soul is fear, or fear of. You know, we've talked about the spirit of mammon before, where that is the fear of lack of anything, whether it's wisdom, understanding, counsel, water, air, money, food, you know, whatever it is, that's the spirit of mammon. The fear of not having that is combated in our relationship with the Holy Spirit and our understanding that it's God's intent to give us, to prosper us and not to harm us. Now, the prosperity of God, once again, is making sure you have everything you need in the moment you need it. That's the prosperity of God. It's not this overabundance that we sometimes think of in our mind. His prosperity is to give us exactly what we need in the moment. That's what God has promised us to do. So, when we talk about the love of the truth... You know, we're really talking about the love of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that our Father in Heaven struck me with yesterday morning as I was praying about today was one of the elements that has to begin in the love of the truth is a heart of gratitude. We have to have a grateful heart. We know that no one comes to the Father except by the Son. And that's the work, you know. But no one comes to the Son except by the drawing of the Holy Spirit. So what draws us to the Son? One of the things I would say would be this gratitude, this heart of gratitude. We come to a place of recognizing what He's done for us. The truth is this. None of us, not a single one of us, has come to the place that we are today on our own. If we look at the very biggest picture of that, before the foundations of the earth, when God had chosen that man would be His son, being the omnipotent God that He was, He knew how that story was going to go, and He knew that man was going to sin. So He took care of the problem before He created man. And He slayed the lamb before the foundations of the earth. God your Father loved you so much, for God so loved the world, you're the world, that part of the world that He's talking about, for God so loved you that He sacrificed the lamb before He even created you. He solved the problem before He even created you. That is the beginning of our gratitude. When we think about a Father who loved us so much that He took care of our worst issue before we even came into existence. That should overwhelm us to some degree, that He would do that. And so I think that's the beginning of the gratitude. But it goes even farther than that. God is continually sending, because we all have that piece of God in us, we are a small piece of God. God is surrounding us with Himself in fleshly bodies, in fleshly vessels, to help us become who we're supposed to be. God gave Nancy to me as a completer to help me be all part of all of who God intended me to be. But there were others before her even that went before me. In the loss of my father at a young age, there were many men in my small town who would offer encouragement to me along the way. This was a living God being there in flesh. Pastor friends of mine, guys that I knew, guys that I look up to in great ways, other men who put on display a certain measure of the character of God in my life. All of these people were going before me, teaching me, training me, making way. God Himself says, I will go before you. I'll make the path straight. My yoke will be easy and the burden will be light. This isn't the Lord Himself in the flesh doing that. This is God sending others to you to do that very thing. I'm so convinced that this gratitude is a big part of the love of the truth that I went searching for the Scripture, asking the Lord to show me the Scripture that proved my case. And He did. It's in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. It says this, be anxious about nothing, fear for nothing at all, but in everything by prayer and supplication or petition. And that's normally where we stop, by prayer and petition. But that's not what the Scripture says. In this understanding of accuracy, we really need to look at it close. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now the Hebrew word there, let me pull it up here just a minute, is Eucharista, which means gratitude. So with prayer and petition that comes with gratitude, ask the Lord, make your request known to the Lord, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts, your heart being who you are, and your minds in Christ Jesus. My point being this, that I think most commonly we'll say, yeah, submit your request to God in prayer and supplication, and we leave off the with gratitude portion of it. The petitions that we take to God should be rooted in our gratitude for all that He has done and all that He's going to do in our lives. in the way he touches us, in the way he's gone before us. This thing comes with a caution to you. I really do not believe that we can truly love the truth apart from this gratitude and being thankful for all that God has done. Even to us here, how He surrounded and knitted all of us together, we should be grateful for one another in this circumstance. There should be a deep heart of gratitude because we are going before each other, making this path straight, making this way, making portion of the presentation that we all have. The caution that comes is when we don't have that gratitude and how far that thing goes. In Luke, the 13th chapter, 34th verse, says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem." Interesting about this, that today that Trump just named Jerusalem the recognized head of the nation of Israel. But that's what it was at this time. This is the Lord speaking. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. Kills the one who brings the word of the Lord and those sent to minister His goodness. How often I've wanted to gather you together just as a hen gathers her brood under her wing and would not have it." Now here's where the caution comes. When we fail to be grateful for those that God has sent to us and we stone them and the ones that were sent to us. He says, "Behold, your house is left desolate, and I say to you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now what he's saying there, he's not talking about, "Oh, I see Jesus coming, blessed he. Travis comes my way and I acknowledge and say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." If I'm not willing to receive the Jesus that's in Travis, I'll not see him in any of the rest of y'all. If I'm not willing to receive the Jesus that's in Kim, he's not going to let me see him in all of the rest of y'all. I have to be grateful for the pieces of God that he has surrounded me with in order to continue to see him. When we stone them, when we reject them, when we say, "You're not the right color, you're not the right shape, you're not the right size, you're not the right denomination, you're not. We're rejecting the person of the living God. And his declaration is to us, our house will be desolate. It'll be without hope is what that means. We'll be without hope and we'll not see him again. He'll not send another one our way until we're willing to receive the one that he sends to us. Pretty sobering thought to me. So when we speak of loving the truth, everybody's in favor of that. I love the truth as long as it comes in the shape and the form and the fashion I want it to come in. But am I willing to love the truth enough to receive the one God sent to me? Do I love the truth enough to recognize that in each and every one of y'all, there's a measure of God that has been put here for my benefit? That y'all are carrying the same gospel I'm carrying and that we're here to help each other. And are we willing to receive that in one another and be grateful and rejoice in our Father in heaven for doing it? Because 6,000 years ago, when he slay the lamb before the foundations of the earth, he knew about us here today. In his omnipotence, he chose, Scripture says, he chose to set times and places for us all to exist. So he predestined, if you will, for us all to be together here. Now what we do with it is our own choice. How we receive one another is our own choice. How much we love the truth. I can't love Jesus if I don't love Albert. Let me put it a different way. I can't love Jesus and all the time hate Albert. It's not possible. We talked last week about how if there's a place for the truth to reside, there also has to be a place for the lies to reside. If there's a place for love to reside, there also has to be a place, if we hate, for hate to reside. The two don't work together. There can be no light, no darkness in the presence of light. it's incompatible for those things to be together. So as lovers of the truth, let me encourage you to look around you and see what pieces of God have been assembled in your presence that you may have rejected. And if you have, repent and declare, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and receive them fully. Not to take advantage of them, but for the peace of God that they have in your life. Because you two together will be greater than the sum of the parts. What happens when the Spirit of God in me connects with the Spirit of God in someone else goes well beyond what we, the two of us, are as individuals. It's exponential what God does. And His declaration is, "With grateful hearts, receive one another's gifts and graces." Acknowledge the Spirit of God in each other and receive that fully. Amen? Comment? A grateful heart. I've always said this, and I never had the scripture till today, that Philippians, to back it up, but I've always said a grateful heart will motivate God. And the truth is, He really does. When we petition God with gratitude, it will always motivate Him. Okay? We're good. 1 o'clock. Right on time. Thank y'all. See you next week. Hope you stay warm.